The Lord be with you.
And
read from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Fourth Sunday of Easter is the Good Shepherd Sunday. The Good Shepherd Sunday. Obviously, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. However, all of us are called to be Good Shepherds also. So let's talk about how are we called to be good shepherds. Okay, so first I'll ask a question. How many spouses here have children? How many mothers and fathers? Okay, how many abuelitos, grandparents? Okay, so all of you are called to be good shepherds to your sheep, to your flock. So let's ask ourselves the question, how can I be a good shepherd to my flock, to my sheep? Well, when I'm preparing my homily, I worked on five ways that you can be a good shepherd to your sheep. Are you listening? Okay. What I'm going to be saying right now is somewhat of a pun. It's a play on words. It's a play on words. But I think you'll understand my linguistic gymnastics in creating this phrase. So for you to be a good shepherd to your sheep, you have to be a good sheep to the good shepherd. Amen? I'll say that again if you didn't pick it up. For you to be a good shepherd to your sheep, you have to be a good sheep of the good shepherd. Try to say that five times fast. Para ser buen pastor de las ovejas, tiene que ser buena oveja del buen pastor. Suena mejor en español, ¿no? So it sounds really good in Spanish if you know Spanish well. Okay, so there's the general principle. So we have to allow ourselves to be fed by the Good Shepherd. And to be fed in two different ways. We have to be fed. Our minds have to be fed intellectually by the bread of the Word of God. Do you remember the beginning of Lent what Jesus said to the devil? He said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So we should have a real hunger for the Word of God. You should have more hunger for the Word of God than a nice big hamburger or a pizza, okay? Because that pizza, the hamburger, is going to be end up in your stomach, whereas the Word of God is going to end up in your mind. What's more noble, your stomach or your mind? Obviously, our mind is much more noble than our stomach. What is the purpose of the stomach? To nourish and to digest food. What is the purpose of the mind? To absorb the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen? Then we have to have a real hunger. Do any of you go to daily Mass? Any of you go to daily Mass? What was the Gospel this week? You don't remember. John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So we hunger for the Word of God, but we hunger even more so for the bread of life, which is Holy Communion. So if your parents are enamored with the Word of God, and you love the Eucharist, you're going to transmit to that to your children. Your children are going to love the Bible. And they're going to love also to come to Mass, to be able to receive the Eucharist. So that's the first in our formation as a good shepherd. A hunger for the Word of God and a hunger for the bread of life. Amen? The second step is this. You parents who have your children, you have to love your children. Love your children. Now, here's a big question. How do you define love? One of the greatest writers last century was a man whose name was C.S. Lewis. You ever hear of C.S. Lewis? One of the greatest Christian writers. Almost seemed to be a Catholic, but he didn't make it to become a Catholic. But a great Christian writer. He wrote a book called The Four Loves, where he takes the four interpretations of love from Greek. Eros, philia, storge, and agape, the four different words. So the many interpretations for the word love. I'll give my favorite, taken from Thomas Aquinas. You've heard of Thomas Aquinas, I hope you have. He's the greatest theologian in the Catholic Church. Thomas Aquinas says, love is willing the good of the other. What is the summum bonum? What is the greatest good? What is the greatest good for your children? Their salvation. Amen? So if parents really love their children, they will what is best for your children, and that is the salvation of their immortal soul. And parents should be willing to even lay down their lives for the salvation of their children, as we read in the lives of the saints. All right. So after loving your children, good parents have to practice two opposing virtues. It's interesting that we all have two arms, right? Two arms, right? How do you use those with your children? To hug and to spank. To hug and to spank. Dar nal gadas. Right? You have to know when to hug and when to spank. But first, give a lot of love. But if you see your children that are moving in the wrong direction, you got to discipline them. If not, they're going to be cholos. Cholos, the Hawaiian gardens, huh? So we have to learn as parents the importance of loving your children and disciplining your children. Amen? Number four is you parents, you have to defend your children. Like a good shepherd, you have to defend your children against the prowling wolves. The wolves. Now let me mention three wolves that are out there on the prowl. Not just one, but many. The first would be the dangerous wolf that is, sad to say, inserting itself in the educational system today, in many of the public schools. The liberalism in which they're going into public schools and saying your son or daughter can choose his own sexuality. If you like the LGBT, you've heard of that, right? The LGBT philosophy. You as parents, you got to be the shepherd to your sheep. I would suggest that you as parents, you got three options. Homeschooling. Homeschooling, you've heard of that, right? Homeschooling. A good Catholic school that is not simply Catholic school in name, but in truth. My family is based on three principles: God, family, and education. My father and my younger brother, they built Catholic schools in New Hampshire. My dad and my brother Jim, really probably among the best Catholic schools in New Hampshire because of the Broom family. Thanks be to God. If neither they go to public school, you have to do weeding, to be pulling out the weeds. But that's pretty tiring at times. That can be pretty tiring. So that's the first wolf, is allowing your children to be exposed to erroneous education. When you die, parents, Jesus is going to ask you, how did you educate your children? That's one of the questions he's going to ask you, so get ready. Which is kind of scary. Another wolf is this. It's the wolf that is wreaking havoc in our society, wreaking havoc in our educational system, wreaking havoc in our families, in our teenagers, even children. And it is the wolf of pornography. Yes. The wolf of pornography. Good parents, you have to watch over your children day and night. You have to supervise the electronics media of your children. Because, my friends, once exposed to that, that is a highly addictive drug. It is a modern drug. So you cannot be passive in your children with respect to that. You got to sit down and you talk to your children about that topic. And if you got teenagers, and if you have teenagers, I would bring them to confession every week. Because the temptation today is so overpowering that if we do not use powerful means, which are the sacraments, your children are going to end up in the mouths of the wolves today. And those wolves have very strong teeth. And the third wolf out there, it's a general attitude among most Catholics today. It's basically this. Lukewarmness and indifference. That is the biggest, one of the biggest problems in Catholicism today is lukewarm Catholics. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were. You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. I will. Can you finish it for me? You Californians say spit out. We New Yorkers, we say vomit out of the mouth. We as New Yorkers, we're much more blunt. Lukewarm, mediocre, half-baked Catholics. That's one of the biggest problems in the church today. Have you ever read The Life of a Saint? Have you? They're on fire. Francis Xavier, Saint Ignatius, Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Faustina, Teresa of Avila, John Paul II, Thomas Aquinas, they're on fire, 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 fire. But many members of the church are simply asleep. One of the great poets of last century, his name was T.S. Eliot. And if you read classical English literature, T.S. Eliot, who wrote Wasteland, he says that the world will not end with a boom, but with a whimper. With a whimper. What is he talking about? With mediocrity. So you are called to be good shepherds. I am called to be a good shepherd. Let's beg for the grace, my friends, that you will be a good shepherd to the sheep that are entrusted to you. But remember, the key to become a good shepherd is that we have to be good sheep of the good shepherd. And let's ask Our Lady of Fatima, who appeared to the three little shepherd children, right? Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. Let's turn to Mary and pray to her that we will be good shepherds to the sheep that have been trusted to our care, that one day, all of you, myself included, will be sitting at the feet of Jesus, the good shepherd of our souls. Amen.